Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Everybody, what is going on? We are here. It is the Chop Up. It is finally here. It's Saturday night, which means the game is tomorrow. So I'm amped. I don't know. It's always every week. It's like Christmas. Saturday night. It's like I'm waiting for it. And then you wake up Sunday morning. I got my cup. I drink coffee out the same mug every week. It says like, hey, like, you know, like we're singing the shout song. And I get to it. Look, I got my team with me. Unfortunately, this week we are without K-Gun, we're without Sterols for the girls, but we got A-Dub, Big Dubs, got my homegirl Angie with me, and then I got Victoria joining me from the football guys. She is going to help us out tonight a lot, because Angie needs a lot of help. and before we finish up the intros here, because I want to give everybody a moment to kind of say hi and introduce yourself, I got to bring in somebody else who's I'm considering a special guest. This guy is he's somebody that is beloved in Bills Mafia for plenty of reasons. And he actually got a chance to spend some time with one of our co-hosts here, A-Dubs, Big Dubs, a couple of weeks ago down in Miami. What is going on, Mr. Warlock?
Yes. What's going on, boss?
Hey, what's up,
baby? Hey.
Hey, what's going on? Thanks for having me on.
Hey, man, thank you so much for being here, man. Before we get going, why don't you, just for those who don't know you, I don't know why anybody wouldn't know you. Why don't you introduce yourself real quick? Let everybody know who you are and just kind of, you know, what you're about, because that's what we're going to get into real quick.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm better known on Twitter as Warlock6. I'm a huge Bills fan, I'm a displaced fan. I live in Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm from New York, but I moved to Charlotte about 6 years ago. And I just go on Twitter. I, you know, bring fans to games. You know, like I donate tickets. I like to interact with everybody. And, you know, I'm just a massive diehard Bills fan.
Man, and you know what? I'm going to tell you what. The fan base is blessed to have you. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart, like as genuinely as I could say it. The thing is, there's a lot of people who obviously share the same love for this team. We, you know, our fan base has been crazy for decades. Like, so, you know, there's a lot of people who do. But in reality, especially right now with what's been going on with the pandemic, man, it's tough financially for a lot of people. It's tough emotionally for a lot of people. And what you do, you provide hope and you provide, you provide something to look forward to. And for that, man, I can't even say it any less. I love you, man. Like you're family to me. So I appreciate you. And Angie, why don't you real quick jump in and kind of talk about your experience down in Miami and then kind of, you know, just have a conversation real quick with Warlock, because that's kind of why I wanted to have this whole thing happen.
Yeah. So I had won these tickets. He was so gracious enough to do this for me, kind of as a graduation present, because I graduated with my master's from UB back in May. So I was so, so thankful. And I told even my family, I'm like, you guys can give me whatever, but this isn't, what Warlock is giving me is not going to top any other present. And just going down there, this was my first away game. I know I told you guys that last week, and it was the best experience I could have had. I was really excited to meet Warlock because, you know, like he says, he interacts a lot with people on Twitter all the time. And I felt like almost like I knew him already, you know, just from talking to him so much. So to see him in person and just to know like what a hero he is like to me and to the rest of Bills Mafia, like I was so excited. I felt like I met a celebrity.
Wow. Thank you. I really appreciate that. It was cool hanging out with you. We went down to Miami, destroyed Miami 35-0. Yeah. So that was beautiful. You know, you had your big flag with you and everything. You was representing out there. I was like, okay, let's go.
Got it behind me right now. I sure do.
And just so everybody know, one of the reasons why I do this, like growing up, I had no friends, no family that was Bills fans. So, you know, like growing up through junior high school and high school and everything, I had to deal with that long playoff drought, and like all my friends and family Cowboys fans, 49ers fans, Jets fans, Steelers fans, Giants fans, except for the Buffalo Bills. So when I finally got on Twitter, and I'm like, wow, there are actually Bills fans out there. So I just look at all of them. I feel like you guys are all like my long-lost family, and I'm just big on family and doing things for others. So, you know, that's part of the reason why, you know, like I like to, you know, do the giveaways and stuff. Just, you know, just have fun with everybody. You know, I'm making up for lost time with all my Bills Mafia.
Man, well, it's major for me, man, because like I said, I interact with a lot of people on a day-to-day basis now who a lot of times in messages, they will kind of share like, man, I can't afford to go. I would love to go, and or, hey, I can't even be in the city, man. And I've seen times where you've purchased plane tickets for people, man. Like, so you are creating experiences for people that they wouldn't typically have. So man, I salute you. I thank you so much for everything that you do for the fan base and for just, like I said, extended family. We're all family. So I'm thankful for what you do for my family. What's your outlook for the game tomorrow, man? We're going up against, I know our guy Tyrod ain't playing, but we're going up against some familiar foes. What's your prediction on how you feel like it's going to play out?
Yeah, I know it's not the same Texans roster from 2019, but I think this is going to be revenge for them beating us, yeah. You know, in that playoff game down in Houston that I was at, that heartbreaking game. But, like, I feel like we need to jump on Houston right away, you know, with a much better team, huge favorite. Don't even keep them in the game. They're starting a rookie quarterback, you know, so I think – Josh Allen needs to have a big game. Let's get the ball to Diggs and Sanders and Beasley and the rest of the gang. And, you know, like on defense, get that pass rush going, you know, get after Mills, you know, confuse him with, you know, this just being, you know, pretty much his second start. So I think we jump on him early. We're going to, you know, going to have the crowd behind us. The Mafia is going to be going crazy. And I just want to destroy Houston tomorrow. One of my close friends is a Texans fan. And, you know, like he hasn't even been talking trash all week. He knows that his team is going to get pounded on. So I want to just roll him tomorrow.
You know what? That's so dope when, like, people already know. Like, so this is uncharted territory for Bills fans. Like, typically, we haven't been, you know, over Victoria and I actually just talked about this prior to going live. We're like, man, haven't been good for so long. And now it is what it is. Like, we're here. So, like, now to walk into a game and actually have the expectation, like, man, we're going to win by at least two touchdowns, like three touchdowns. And I don't feel cocky saying it, because I promise I'm not being that obnoxious fan like, oh, you guys suck. But we're used to people talking crap to us. So, like, how has that been for you, Warlock? Like, just over the last couple of years now, because, like you said, you're not even in Buffalo. So, like, out there in New York, especially New York, Carolina, you got fans of teams who have been to the playoffs and to the Super Bowl. What is it like for you now, being that the shoe is on the other foot?
Man, it's a great experience. That playoff drought that we went through, I wouldn't wish that on anybody. Oh my goodness! And now, you know, we finally got the right head coach, the right general manager, the right quarterback, the right team. It feels great finally being, you know, like being the hunter instead of the prey. You know, so it's, I mean, it's definitely new, but I can get used to, you know, having a good team. And, you know, like, a lot of my boys are like huge, you know, huge football fans. And now it's like in my group chat, the Bills are on top. I can go in there and post all the pictures I want, Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs and Hyde and Poyer. And I can just flood the chat with like nothing but Bills talk and nobody will question it. That's how I know the Bills are really good. Because before, when we weren't good, you know, they would attack the Bills and, you know, try to rebut anything I'd say. But now it just feels great finally having a good team. And the fans know the team is good. The team knows that the team is good. The rest of the NFL knows that the team is good. This is definitely a new experience, but I can get used to this for like the next 10-15 years. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Yeah. And you know what? I agree with 95% of what you just said there. The 5% that I'm gonna disagree with, I wish this on Patriots fans. I wish a drought. Bro, talk. They need to go through 20 years of just nothingness. Like, I need them to understand what, because the thing is, I love Tom Brady now. Like, I can admit that he's no longer in New England. And the thing is, he's a phenomenal player. He's if he's not the best quarterback to ever play, he's damn near the best. You know what I'm saying? And okay, great. They had that success, but they were just brutal as fans. It's like you first you're gonna kick me when I'm down, and then on top of kicking me when I'm down, you're gonna put your foot on my throat. Like, come on, man. Like, it was just bad. So no, I agree with everything you said. You're a kind-hearted person, but bro, I wish nothing but drought and nothingness in New England for years to come. Boston too. Basketball, same thing. You see who I'm repping. The Celtics, get rid of them. Get rid of them, all of it. I don't want nothing to do with it.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. You got a good point. I do wish it on Patriots fans, Jets fans, Dolphins fans, and Cowboy fans. You're right. Oh,
Cowboys fans, you got to throw that in there. Well, yo, I'm like I said, I thank you for stopping in. I'm gonna let you go ahead and get out of here. But why don't you, before you go, do you have anything going on now? Do you have any promotions? Or not promotions. Good grief. Do you have any contests or anything that you're doing that some people may need to make their way over to Twitter and find out?
Actually, I just finished doing a giveaway yesterday or the day before. Another fan actually reached out to me and said he had two tickets and he wanted me to give them away, I guess, since, you know, I have a, you know, bigger following and people are used to me doing these kind of things. So I just gave away two tickets a day or two ago. So that's it right now. But just also another Bills fan, I had reached out to him and told him that I wanted to take him to a game. So he's, you know, figuring out his schedule and everything. So you can look out for that. But, you know, I just wake up sometimes like, man, who, you know, like, let me, what's up, family? I just wake up sometimes like, man, let me just shake Twitter up right now. You know, let me get everybody going, you know, let me rile the masses up. So, you know, I can wake up in 2 days and just decide, man, like, you know, who's going to come with me to Tampa Bay? Who's going to come with me to, you know, New Jersey when we play the Jets? So, you know, just look out for it. I can just wake up tomorrow and decide I'm taking somebody to a game or multiple people. So it just, whenever I just, you know, feel like doing it, which be quite often.
Well, I tell you what, man, the only thing I need to know from you is where to send my resume, because I need to have the same kind of job as you, because I'm telling you, man, I'd be struggling with getting to these games and you be at every single one. I'm like, bro, right now I'm trying to figure out Tennessee. Like, that's the, you know, but man, you at every game. It's like I got to get my resume to this dude. Andrew, you got anything you want to say to Warlock before we let him go ahead and ride out?
Man, I love you, dude. And I love what you do for people and for Bills Mafia. And we're just so lucky that you're part of our family.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, man. I love all you guys. Thanks for having me on. And let's do this again, man. I'm available all the time. I love talking Bills.
Well, you know what? While you're saying that now, I'm going to message you as soon as I'm done with the show. I'm going to get you on a code of conduct where I can just talk to you for a full hour. Me and you, we talk Bills football, and we just kind of, I can get to know you better, too. It's just tonight, you know, obviously I have Victoria. We're going to talk some fantasy football and all that stuff. But, dog, when I tell you I really want to get to know you better because you're that kind of dude, we're going to make that happen. So I'm going to hit you up as soon as we get done with this show.
Okay, reach out to me, brother. We'll exchange numbers and take it from there.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you, man. You have a great night. Go Bills.
Go Bills.
All right. So that was Warlock. And like I said, for those who don't know him, make sure y'all go follow him, and you need to get to know him. Cause he's one of those dudes that, even if it's not something that he's done for you personally, where he gets to send you to a game, it's just the positivity that he always, you know, has on the timeline, how happy he is as a person, and the people who are connected to him feel love. So it's chop up time. Let's go ahead and chop it up. We got my homegirl, Victoria. Victoria hanging with us tonight.
What's up?
What is going on?
Oh, it's a weird feeling, like you already said, to expect to win by at least 2 touchdowns tomorrow. So you're just like, you have a good night's sleep. You're not tossing and turning. We're not worried about tomorrow. So that's a nice feeling, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
It's so different from, you know, years past, where even when we feel like we have a decent roster, it's like, can we beat this team or can we not? You know, so there's an anxiety about it. Now it's just like, I can sleep. You have that
like pessimistic feeling, even though, you know, you're like, we should beat this team, but is this a trap game? Now you're just like, nah, we got this. It's a lock.
So A-Dubs, Big Dubs, Angie, she sent me some screenshots earlier. And so for everybody in the chat who doesn't know who Victoria is. Victoria is a contributor and she's a co-host of the Football Guys Pod, and she does some things on their website as well as far as contributions. Good. I don't know what's happening. It's Saturday. I'm sorry, but she's also very, very well versed in everything you need to know about fantasy football. So we're going to start off first talking a little bit about fantasy football. It's going into week four. I'm gonna bring my team up in a second, but I want to start with Angie's because Angie is going through the blues. She has some injury.
I am.
So
Angie, I'm struggling, girl.
Talk a little bit about it. I'm gonna try to see if I can share your roster on here, but why don't you talk a little bit about it and see what Victoria has for you.
Girlfriend, I need help. That's all I'm gonna say. I felt like I was doing right now. I'm 2-1. I felt like I was doing pretty okay the first couple of weeks. I kind of know, you know, who my main dudes were, and I'm like, cool. Like, I feel good with this lineup. And then it's like, I have the Yahoo app and I keep getting notification. This person's doubtful. This person's questionable. This person's going on IR. And I, it's just like everything went to shambles so fast. And I'm like, who am I going to play? And then you go and try to see like, who can I pick up? And it's just like, not exactly cream of the crop at this point of the season. So I'm like, I don't know what to do. And it's my first year. So yeah, like Spence said, I got the blues right now.
First year, 2-1. I got to give you a round of applause. That's awesome. I do have the screenshots of your team. I got them here in my DM. So I took a look a little while ago. It's tough sledding here. And I want to preface this with like week three for waivers was rough out there for getting players and the injuries as well. Like there were just so many injuries last week. So a lot of people are feeling your pain in week four, who to start, what to do. So yeah, let's take a look at this roster. So here's your bench. We're looking at, we got Landry and Gallup on IR, yes. Josh Jacobs is tough. Monday night game, you don't know if he's going to play. He's looking like he might, but it's a tough decision to hold out. Mm-hmm. So for Josh Jacobs, I'd say you want to play him if he's healthy. But because it's Monday night, is Peyton Barber on your waiver wire? I think I would look to see if Peyton Barber is on your waiver wire first, because then you know you can pick him up and slot him in case Jacobs is inactive for some reason. He had a great start last week in place of Jacobs, which is shocking, right? He just kind of hopped onto the Raiders team and did his thing. So he's a fine play there if you want to pick him up. Hopefully he's on waiver, so check that first.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. So you got Aaron Rodgers on the bench. Claypool's out. Yeah, you can't even put him in an IR spot either. Oh, my goodness.
I know. It's a hot mess.
Sterling,
it really is.
Shepherd. Oh my gosh. Okay, let's see your actuals. Do you have the starting?
Yeah, I'll pull that up.
I think I have it here, but yeah, you can pull it up. Okay, so you got Russell Wilson, Mike Evans, and Hollywood Brown, Kareem Hunt, Trey Sermon, Logan. That's not too, you know what? This isn't as bad as it seems. It really isn't. Hopefully a lot of these guys like Claypool and Shepherd are healthy next week. Kareem Hunt was the RB1, I think, last week overall. Mm-hmm. So you're good there. Hollywood Brown has a tough matchup, but they got to use him.
Right.
Let's see. So for help, is there any team in your league that needs quarterback help? Because you have Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. Is there anyone that's a big Packers fan? Anyone who loves Aaron Rodgers maybe could trade him for a better running back or wide receiver, somebody that's struggling and maybe they didn't pick a good quarterback and they're using Daniel Jones or something every week? I would look to trade one of your quarterbacks. I'd probably keep Wilson here. He's got more of a ceiling, more upside than Rodgers.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers broke my heart week one. So.
Oh my, is that the week you lost? Because I lost everywhere I had.
Yeah, that's the one week that I did lose.
That game was just disgusting. I was looking at my fantasy app and I'm like, I gotta put this game on. What is happening? What is even happening? It was just ugly. That stinks that that was your one loss. But I think that's where I'd start for help to try to trade at least one of the quarterbacks. There's really not much else you can do. You can't really slot anyone else in.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm kind of like, I feel like I'm kind of stuck and it's like, you know, I did the movements and adjustments I could, but it's just like, there's only so much I can do, I feel like.
Is this a 10-team league?
There's 12 of us. Yep.
Okay, so your wire's probably not great right now. But you could drop someone like Michael Gallup, put one of the other guys in your IR slot and pick someone else up off the waiver wire. I don't know who's, if you wanted to shout out some people that are on the wire and we can discuss that. But you could just drop, I mean, in a 12 team, Michael Gallup is not, I mean, for me, I would just drop him and then you can put Claypool or Shepherd in that IR spot mm-hmm. and try to pick someone else up. Plus you've got, Yeah, those would be my recommendations for now. We could talk after if you want to show me your waiver wire as well.
Yeah, that would be great. But that definitely points me in the right direction of just, you know, what moves are more desirable over the others and what would help me out more, what would help someone else. So I think that's really helpful. So thank you so much. You know, I feel a little bit better because, like I said, with it was just like one notification after the other. I'm just like, oh my
yeah, God, that's very bad luck to have four total players out of your whole lineup just out. Oh yeah. My gosh,
it's rough. In my dynasty league, so even before the season started, so Travis Etienne was on injured reserve. J.K. Dobbins ended up on injured reserve. I picked up Hill because Dobbins went on injured reserve, and then he went on injured reserve. Fitzpatrick was my quarterback, one of my quarterbacks, and then I had Tua. So I mean, like, it just like literally my dynasty team is
you
bad.
You guys have had some bad luck. That's very bad luck.
Yeah,
oh
it's real
goodness.
Bad.
So you're just not competing this year, then?
No, right now I'm 1-2. Okay. So I actually won last week, which was I don't know how. I have no clue how, but it's okay. I'm chugging through. I got the dynasty, so we going. Look, I got the long term fish. So, but let's get into this weekend. I'm gonna take some questions in a few as far as fantasy and everything like that. But right now, let's talk about this game tomorrow. The Houston Texans come into Orchard Park. Come to Western New York and they face our boys, and like we kept alluding to, it's no longer Deshaun Watson led. It's not even Tyrod led at this point because he's injured. So let's talk about David Mills. What we can start off with, Victoria. What do you think we can expect to see from David Mills in this offense? Because it's not, the first game that he started this year, or not started, but the first game he played the majority when Tyrod got injured. He didn't look like an NFL quarterback. And then last week against the Panthers, he actually looked pretty solid throughout the game. So what are your expectations as far as the Texans offense this week?
I mean, we've already gone over that. We're not too worried about it. I think he did look pretty good last week. He's been the most successful out of all the rookie quarterbacks, surprisingly. He's had some success. He had the touchdown last week. I'm not too worried. Maybe he scores one or two, but we did struggle a little bit last week with Heinicke and his rushing and using his legs. So, you know, Mills can do some of that, but I'm not too worried. And the only receiver that he can really rely on is Brandon Cooks. And you hope that Trey White can just shut it down. And if Trey White can shut down Cooks, then really they're not going to be able to move the ball very much, especially with the run game. They've got a couple of triple shot of geriatric running backs that they're in Houston, all the old school guys that would have taken your fantasy team to a victory about 4 or 5 years ago, maybe. Mm-hmm. And with Mark Ingram, David Johnson, you know, all that good stuff. Philip Lindsay, maybe not. He's a little bit younger, but
they don't give him the share that he should. Like, I feel like Philip Lindsay should have far more carries and receptions out the back, just anything. He should have far more than he does. And I get that, that Mark Ingram has been Mark Ingram. I get it. I'm not at all hating on him. He's one of my favorites over the last few years, but come on, like Philip Lindsay.
It is odd because he is a talented dude. But they just seem to be a complete mess over there. So, you know, I root for the rookies, obviously not rooting for Mills to do anything well against us, but I want to see him succeed. So we'll see if he can do much better. But I mean, Heinicke wasn't really moving the ball on us last week until some garbage time. So, and when they had those couple turnovers, so I'm just not worried at all. I don't see them moving the ball very much. Hopefully we can get up on them very, very quickly, and then we can have – maybe we see Mitch Trubisky out there for the second half. Jeez. That would be not that fun, but, you know, It is what it is. If we get the win, then that's fun.
But you know what? If we're putting Mitch in at the second, at the half mark, then that means we're in good space. So I'm okay. I can start on my notes for my pod and everything if that's the case. So A-Dubs, what you thinking? How, like, what's your outlook on not necessarily a score prediction yet or anything, but just what do you think about the offense and David Mills? What are we expecting out of this tomorrow?
Yeah, I think this is, you know, he's kind of got like some learning curves and things that he's still working out, you know, with the offense. So it's like, I don't expect them, you know, to be quite like how, you know, Heinicke was last week, you know, up there. But, you know, I think they'll probably get one or two, kind of like Victoria was saying. I'm curious weather-wise how that's going to impact the game, you know, if we're going to get, you know, both teams are going to get the run game going more, what's that going to be like? You know, I think he's probably going to depend on Brandon Cooks a lot. I think he's going to depend probably on Mike Ingram a lot. That's what it seems like. That's kind of like the two people he's been really comfortable with. But, you know, the consistency, I don't know. You know, I don't think – I'm not threatened by them. I hope we do see Mitch at some point playing. It's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, this forecast, I just brought that up too. It's not looking too great. Although the wind, I mean, it was very windy last week. And Josh Allen was just tossing the rock like it was just a beautiful day outside. You would never know it. It was wild. So the wind usually gives quarterbacks in the passing attack more problems than the rain, actually, which it bodes well. Hopefully tomorrow we still can pass. We're not having too many slippery drops or anything like that. But yeah, it'll be very interesting to see what the game plan is.
Yeah,
hopefully he throws the ball. Oh, good. My bad.
Oh, I was just gonna say. Yeah, I'm just curious about ball control in general. You know, especially just like our defense and you know how we like to pressure and cause turnovers. You know, I think they're gonna really capitalize on those if they see you guys, you know, not having the best grip and things like that. So.
Yeah, I think we'll get to the quarterback a couple times tomorrow.
Yeah, I think I think we're gonna have a day as far as you know, like the sack column is concerned. But you know, when you have young quarterbacks and then young inexperienced quarterbacks at that, this is his third or second start. It's his first away start, and he's coming to Buffalo. Like no, it's So I feel like he's going to be a little nervous. He's going to hold on to it a little bit.
Good luck, Mr. Mills. I'm going to pour one out for you.
But I mean, I don't see it working. Now I could be completely blinded. This could be me and all of us really like drinking the Kool-Aid and just being in love with our team and having our homer goggles on. But realistically, I just don't see that. I think, the Texans played a pretty good game last, you know, like it wasn't like, he didn't look horrible. It was a close game. But again, are we afraid of if we played Carolina tomorrow? Are we afraid of Carolina too? I don't think that we are. As much as I think Sam Darnold is better than he got credit for in New Jersey,
for sure.
I don't think that he's, you know, he still doesn't scare me and that team doesn't scare me. So I'm just not nervous about it. But, you know, it is what it is. That running attack that Victoria mentioned earlier, I'm still not scared of that only because I don't think that the coach is know what they're doing down there. I think you know, if you're gonna have a run heavy offense, you need to use the guy who's the best right now on your roster. And the guy who's the best is not getting the most at all. He's not getting the most carries or anything. So I don't know. But let's pivot for a quick second there. Real quick, we got a super chat. My guy Charlie says that they mentioned Josh's arm strength as an asset for playing in Buffalo weather when he was drafted. Weather shouldn't be an issue ever. Love the show. Shout out to my man Charlie. And I was actually going to pull one of his comments up earlier, but we kept talking. Charlie, everybody does not hate your takes. You're a very, very good analyst. The thing is, a lot of times as Bills fans, when takes don't necessarily agree with our love for the team, you know, we attack. That's all. So don't take it personal, man. We love you. Keep doing what you're doing. You're doing a great thing over there at Built in Buffalo. I love the network. Shout out to everybody over there. My homegirl T. Estelle is doing the damn thing. That's my girl. Shout out to Charlie, man. Keep doing what you do. But no, I agree with him. I agree with you. Before we move on, I think Victoria basically just said the same thing as far as saying, like, you know, he was out there. What do you think, A-Dubs?
Yeah, I agree. You know, and I think I was really impressed with, like, you know, the commentators just kept saying yesterday, like, wow, it's really windy here. And it just, Josh didn't even seem fazed by it. So that to me, like, you know, I know we're talking about like growth and everything like that, but I think that just shows like how much better of a quarterback he's been and he's becoming. So that makes me feel a lot more confident in, you know, when we have extreme weather and things like that.
You know what, though? Even on top of that, there was a stat that the Buffalo Bills PR posted yesterday. And it just, like, when I tell you it gave me chills, I'm looking for it now to pull it up. But it was one of those things where it was just like, what in the world? Like, so Josh Allen's rookie season, we were trending as the worst offense of all time for any given one season. And then now, since we lost against Houston in the playoffs, the Buffalo Bills lead the NFL in average points per game during the regular season, tied with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I just think that's an amazing stat.
Wow.
That's like, it crazy. Gave me goosebumps.
I love that. Well, you see, like, obviously the week one, week two struggled, and a lot of that, as much as we blew out the Dolphins, and you see Josh Allen still upset with himself for those few misses or whatever he still needed to work on, as long, whatever it may be. When he adjusts and he flips that switch, it's, you see when, and our defense is firing on all cylinders and our offense, you see what we can do. It's just absolutely insane, just like last week. I think it'll happen again this week, but if they can continue to do that throughout the rest of the season, I mean, the sky is the limit. And I've read from multiple outlets that the Bills have the easiest strength of schedule remaining in the league, which just makes me so, so happy. Like, every single year we've been inching closer and closer, and I just want to get to that big game. Big game in 2022. You're
going to L.A.?
Oh, my gosh. I would love to, but again, who can afford that? I'll be watching from my couch.
I'm going to call Warlock on that one. Hey, bro, you going to?
No, I'm going to try to play the lotto and see if I can go and swing it.
Heck yeah. I think Kristen actually already bought her plane ticket in the event of a Buffalo Bills trip to the Super Bowl. So she doesn't have a game ticket, but she's like, dude, plane tickets from Buffalo were on sale for like I think the round trip ticket was like two something. She's like, I'm doing it. I'm going. So she's already like,
look, K-Gun's ready to go. She's ready to go. I love her.
So just kind of inching a little bit more about the game tomorrow. Interesting developments recently. So again, we're not going against Deshaun Watson tomorrow. His name has come up again right now in the news. And if this is a heavy topic, or if this is something that we're not comfortable talking about, we can move on. But it's just interesting to me that even with, you know, all of the pending charges I guess there's no criminal charges yet, but there's some allegations of sexual harassment pending on Deshaun Watson from some misconduct or whatever, however you want to use it, with massage parlors or whatever. Right. So therapists, he's still talking about being traded, like, and we're here in Miami on top of it with anything. What are your thoughts on that? And if, like I said, if it's too much, we can move on from it. But I kind of, you know, want to get your thoughts on this. So we can start with Victoria as the guest today. Let us know your thoughts.
Yeah, I won't get into any of the legal side of things or any of that you just hit on. The trade talks are interesting to me. You know, they probably linked him to every quarterback needy team over the offseason, the Broncos, the Dolphins, the Eagles before the season started, and the chatter's not going to end. But I just don't see why a team would trade multiple first-round picks, 2-3 first-round picks for a guy who might not be able to play sometime soon. He's not on the commissioner's exempt list, meaning he wouldn't be able to play in the NFL. He's not on there. He is eligible to play right now, but he just refuses to play for the Texans, wants to be traded. I just don't see why a team would just put all that draft capital on the line to potentially not be able to use this guy as their QB. And it's just a huge risk. And of course, you knew that if something was going wrong with the Dolphins or any of those teams, even for the Eagles, maybe they're chanting for Watson, but it just would not be smart at all for a team to take a shot on that right now.
I'm with you. There's no way, even now as a talent, if none of this stuff was, you know, if there was no cloud, you know, dark cloud kind of hovering over the situation, there would be no question that if I'm not the Bills, if I'm not Kansas City, if right now, if I'm the Chargers. You know, there's a few teams that I would be like, look, hell no. But other than that, like for the most part of it in the league, if Deshaun Watson's available, his talent is worth it. Angie, what do you think as far as just like how everything is going on? Apparently, I'm reading in the comments here that 8 out of the 22 complaints are criminal in nature, but no charges have been filed yet. But aside from that, you can comment on that if you like, but aside from that, like, what are your thoughts on that? Especially in considering the one team that he is still very much linked to is in our division, being the Miami Dolphins.
Mm-hmm. I think the other thing I think about, like on top of what Victoria was just saying too, is just some coaches, you know, that they really value culture in their guys. And, you know, what would that mean, you know, with everything that he has going on? Like, how is that going to affect their locker room? Or what, you know, negative attention is it going to bring in? And, you know, I feel like some teams, you know, maybe they would let it slide, but some teams, like, they don't want that there, and they don't want that negative attention, you know, in the locker room or from the fan base and everything like that. So I think they just kind of see it as like a risk in that way. So that's kind of where I think, you know, some heads might be when it comes to that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, we can move on from that. Like I said, I know I don't want to get into certain topics because it's a heavy topic. But on a lighter note, before we get back to the game, because now I kind of want to talk a little bit about like the Bills' expectations and things that I feel like so far this season in my eyes have been weaknesses. And I know that we don't have many questions about tomorrow's game, but there's still things that we can correct going every week. You want to be good in every phase of the game. But before we do, my man LeSean Shady is retiring. Sean McCoy decided that he's going to call it a career, and he retired as an Eagle. And look, first, he's a freaking Hall of Famer in my book. How do we all feel about this retirement? And I know he should have done it in Philly. Is it bad that I kind of wish he would have did it as a Bills?
I wish he did it as a Bills. I thought about that. I'm like, I get it. But at the same time, I'm like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Philly was his team. I don't think he really wanted to leave. I think he's alluded to that or said that before. He wished he played there his entire career. That makes sense. As much as Bills Mafia, we loved him. Obviously, he did some amazing things for us when he was here. That his heart probably was just still in Philly, and
for sure,
that's okay. That's all right. He was still. I remember though a quote in 2018 that he said something about Josh Allen being special, and that he doesn't usually pump up rookies, but this kid is special. And hey, turns out he was very correct, luckily. So I love that about him. He always touted Josh as his rookie that he loved. So. I hope he gets into the Hall of Fame.
He's a boy. I feel like he will. And what I want to do real quick, I just want to kind of share the interview, or I guess it was his presser from his retirement in Philly. So let me share this real quick, and then we can talk a little bit about it.
I think the only regret I truly have is my PR. She's looking at me like, don't say that. But my only regret I have, man, is not being an Eagle in my prime. You know, at the time when I got traded, I felt I was probably one of the top, maybe second guy, you know, other than Jason Peters. And so many different reasons. Like, I look at, like, me and Larry Fitzgerald are really, really tight. Obviously, the Pitt connection. But just, like, the way he is with the organization, you know, when you look at Arizona Cardinals, no matter what era, he's going to be a name that sticks to that franchise. You know, and I think the short time I was here, right, you kind of feel like that. But I think that if I was here for three more years, around that 10th year, that's something that I would have with this franchise. Now, I'm not saying that that's not the case still, but just knowing how things work with different players and franchises. And I was still hot, you know, when we departed. But that's one thing I always regret, that I always should have been an Eagle, you know, from our career and probably majority of my prime years.
Oh, we're all on mute.
I'm muted. Yeah, we're all muted. So kind of like what you alluded to, he didn't want to leave Philly. And I don't want any Bills fans to take that wrong. He also had more comments later where he mentioned, you know, first how grateful he is for Bills fans and how the city embraced him, and how even coming into the city, he wasn't necessarily excited at first. But when he got here, man, it completely changed his love for the fans. So LeSean, he absolutely has a love and admiration for the city and for the fan base. But I mean, let's be real. You know, he was a Philadelphia Eagle. He was a Pitt guy. Pennsylvania is where he is supposed to be. So, you know, I'm happy for him. I hope he's a first ballot. I know he won two Super Bowls without actually contributing, you know, for the game, but he's a Super Bowl champion to me. He's a heck of a player. And I know there's a couple comments in there that, which I understand, some people didn't like personality wise, or he made some mistakes kind of PR wise. He did some things that you'd be like, oh, Shady, come on, dude. But he's a heck of a player. So, Victoria, I know you just kind of had some comments. Why don't you just, you know, kind of finish up with that, and then we can move on to the Bills after Angie has her comments too.
Yeah, I did. I think in that interview too, he said a couple teams were calling and he still had an opportunity to play, but he wanted to hang it up. He didn't want to chase numbers and all that. And I understand that. I mean, he just, like you said, won those two rings and he's probably like, I'm good, man. I'm on my way out. So, always respect to Shady. Love what he did for us in Buffalo. I wish we could have done more when he was here, but hopefully he gets in the Hall of Fame.
All right. Ange, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I have nothing but love for Shady, but I do understand, you know, I actually didn't get to see his full interview, but even just from that clip alone, like, you can understand someone wanting to make an impact and leave a legacy, you know, especially for him spending as much time as he did and wanting to continue a future there. Like, I don't blame anyone for that. Like, anybody would want that. So I can definitely, you know, understand like where he's coming from that. But I do think he did enjoy his time in Buffalo. I'm so thankful for everything he did. I think he was a really good mentor and a leader for some players. I know he really loved Josh. So I'm just thankful that, you know, he got to be here for the time that he was.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And especially because at the time that we got him, and now we can kind of get back to the game and just everything else. We had Tyrod as our starter. I cannot talk tonight. Holy smokes. And the thing was, as much as I love Tyrod, I'm a Tyrod fan, but he isn't the quarterback to just push the ball down the field like Josh does. Like, that's the reason why we drafted Josh. But Shady, sure enough, gave us that electric moment. Like, he gave us that spark when we needed one. You know, you almost felt more comfortable handing the ball off than you did throwing it. You know, like, it's like, we need a chunk of yards. Give it to Shady. It's like, yeah. You know. So I love the guy. I know I see some comments saying that he came to practice drunk or whatever like that. I don't know why he was traded or cut or whatever. You know, I don't care. The thing is, when he was here, he gave us 5,000 plus yards in a couple years or a few years. We had the number one rushing attack twice while he was on our team. A lot of that had to do with Greg Roman, but 95% of that had to do with the guy carrying the ball, and that was LeSean Shady McCoy. And look, Shady, great career. I wish you well in your retirement. God bless you, man. I love you. Enjoy it. Don't ruin no more movies for us, though, damn it.
I'm still so mad about that.
The dude just out here like, oh, Tony Stark's died? What? Come on, man. Come on.
My brother and I are huge Marvel fans, and when I saw that, I like threw my phone because I'm like, did he really just ruin this damn movie for me? He sure did.
Like, come on. So, but talk about Tyrod. Let's talk about him real quick. So we're gonna miss out on Tyrod. And then last week we missed out on Fitz. And to me, it's like, I look at both of those like the past relationships kind of, you know, you moved on for good reason. And then there's a part of you that has a love for each one of them in different ways. So like Fitz is like the first love that you never get over, and you still love him, even though, you know, he ain't right for you. He's going to never quite do the right thing by you, but you just love him. That's Fitz. And we missed out on Fitz last week. And then this week we're missing out on Tyrod. Now, Tyrod is probably, he's the guy that does everything right. You know, he always opens the door. He's so respectful. Your parents love him. You know, he's a good role model if you have kids already. You know, like, he's a good dude. He's a really good dude. But then at the same time, it's just not the commitment you're looking for. He's not like, he's great in every area, but he just doesn't do something that you know. Which one would we have been more afraid of to face? So if Tyrod came in tomorrow, or if Fitz started last week? We can start with Angie.
I was thinking about this for a while, and for some reason, for me, it's always Fitz. Like, we don't call him Fitzmagic for nothing. It's just like with him, it's just like, you don't know, you know, is he going to have like a normal game, or is he going to throw for like 500 yards? I feel like that uncertainty is just like, that makes me afraid of him, because I'm like, you don't know what kind of game you're going to get out of him. So it's just like, that to me was someone that it's like, if I was going to be more, I guess, threatened by one or the other, it would have been Fitz.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's kind of how I felt. I had us losing when I did like my full season prediction for the schedule. I had us losing to Washington because of Fitz.
Wow.
I thought
their defense was better than what they showed last week.
We all
their defensive line. Yeah, that defensive line. Now, I still think their defensive line played a great game. I know they didn't get to Josh as much, but that's just because Josh is doing Josh things. Mm-hmm. They pressured him a ton, but he just picked him apart. So I just thought it was going to be a little different. I still had us at this point of the season 2-1. Victoria, what do you think? Do you think it like Fitz had a better shot, or if Tyrod was here tomorrow, you think Tyrod has a better shot?
Yeah, I think it's, if we put them just the quarterbacks comparing them together, it'd be probably a little bit closer. But full team wise, defense, special teams, offense, it would have been Fitz in the Washington football team, just because they're, like you said before the season, their team seemed to be very complete. They finally got, you know, even though Fitz was just their bridge quarterback, they finally got a guy that can be competent. They're not having a carousel of quarterbacks with Dwayne Haskins and Alex Smith and all the garbage they dealt with last year. So they were definitely a little bit scarier. And I just, as soon as Fitz got injured, that just broke my heart. Broke my heart, because he finally had a shot to just lead a team for a full season. He's been a journeyman quarterback his whole career, and it was just, he seemed very happy and just stoked to be there and lead the team, and the team seemed to look up to him. I followed Washington fairly closely in the offseason. I am a huge Antonio Gibson fan for fantasy, so oh gosh, let's mention that 73-yard catch and touchdown run. That was just wild. That was one of our weaknesses. Let's put that on the list for one of our weaknesses from last week. But I love watching that person. That was hard to watch against my team, but man, that was awesome. But anyways, I digress. Yeah, Fitz would have been much scarier, especially just Houston is just a dumpster fire right now. As much as I think they'd be more successful with Tyrod at the helm right now, but not very much more.
Yeah. I don't think that and I know, actually, I had my man Antoine Staley on the Code of Conduct earlier this week, and he's a beat reporter for the Panthers. He used to cover Miami, and he seems to think that David Coley's a good coach. I don't, and I don't know if it's because of my experience with him being with the Bills and the reputation out of Buffalo is like, oh, he's a very good dude. He's a very good dude, not a bright coach, you know. Now, that's whatever, but that's how I feel about him. The thing is, the play you're talking about with Gibson, I don't even feel like that's a weakness. I felt like it was one of those plays that,
broken. Yeah,
they caught us. It was just a play that the team kind of was over-aggressive on some things, and they just caught us out of space. And even with the special teams.
Yeah, it looked like it was going to be a sack almost. I think Heineke just got it away, check down, and Gibson's just a talented dude. I know, I was just messing on that.
And Gibson is that dude. No, but Gibson is really one of those dudes that's like, he can be special for a long time if he can if he can stay healthy. But another freak play, I guess, because a lot of people want to blame it on the win. We were talking about the special teams play when Isaiah McKenzie on the kickoff kind of let the ball drop. It bounced. Washington football team ended up recovering it.
Yeah.
I struggle with this. So I'm a huge special teams guy. I'm like, when it comes to the game of football, I value special teams probably a whole lot more than most content creators and probably a whole lot more than most fans, because I really believe that if you have to win consistently, two phases of the game to win, right? So I feel like if you can win special teams, that just really, it means if your defense plays a great game, your offense can kind of be, you know, like you can have mistakes from Josh Allen. You can have games where Stephon Diggs isn't quite creating a separation. It's not going to happen a lot, but if it happens, okay, because you won on defense and on special teams. If, like last season, our defense, the rush defense, was not working for us. I always reference how Frank Gore averaged over 5 yards a carry in the first half when we played the Jets. you know, we had like we were beat up a little bit offensively when it comes to, or defensively, I should say, when it comes to other teams running the ball on us. And reception wise, like the passing attack, actually, we just weren't solid early on. We got better as the season went on, but we weren't solid. But we won special teams every single week. We won that. So when Josh, the offense was doing their thing, the defense could have an off week. Cool. It's not because you won both phases. Mm-hmm. I think Bills fans and the media in Buffalo has pretty much been spoiled by the fact that Andre Roberts has been to the Pro Bowl for us twice. I think that we've been spoiled by the fact that we have three of the top 10 special teams players in the league on the other side of the ball. When you're looking at Saron Neal, Tywan Jones, and Taylor Matakovich, I always say his name wrong. Sorry, Tyler. But I think we got spoiled there. We no longer have, we just can't be spoiled. So how do you feel? Are you sold on Isaiah McKenzie as a kick and punt returner, or are you kind of where I am, where it's like, I love Isaiah like a lot and I want him to be good at this role so bad, but it just seems like his, for me, it's his decision making. It's his, it's not when he gets the ball. When he gets the ball, I'm all for him. Get the ball and do the damn thing, dog. Do it. But there's times where he's fair catching the ball on punts when he really got space to run. There's times when he got space, when he doesn't have space to run, that he didn't fair catch the ball. And it's like, what are we doing? What are your thoughts there?
Goodness. I mean, he's averaging the highest amount of yards per return right now in the entire NFL. So I like that. When he, like you said, when he does get the ball and he has a nice return, he's successful. I think I want to just give him the benefit of the doubt just because we had Andre Roberts Pro Bowl for so long that how many opportunities did McKenzie really get to shine when we've had Andre Roberts for so long? I think maybe he's still just getting his groove because he's still learning, like you said, learning to make those decisions on if he should fair catch or go or whatnot. It's definitely one of our weaknesses, and to me that seemed like a fluke play. I guess this is the spot you want to be hard on them. I understand. So,
well, no, it's not being hard on them. I will agree with you that the wind basically snatched the ball and was like, all right, I'm gonna drop it here. The thing is, even if there's no real room to return that, and you the decision making aspect,
yeah,
you fair catch that. It's a live ball after 10 yards.
Yeah.
So you get that ball and you fall down. You don't let it bounce. I understand. So again, I'm not trying to be hard on him in the sense that, like, hey, no, the wind was absolutely a factor there. It wasn't a factor for Josh, but it was a factor for kicking. We saw that.
Yeah.
But you catch that ball. You don't let that ball bounce because, again, after 10 yards, it's a live ball. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but again, you're right too. I don't want to overly nitpick. I don't want to make it seem like it's like, okay, we have to be perfect. But the thing is,
you're going to have games where. Yeah, sorry, I'm interrupting you. I think I know where you're going with that. You're going to have a game where that's going to be make things close, right? Is that where you're going? Mm-hmm. I apologize, I cut you off. I was literally about to say that. Week one, look what happened. The whole momentum changed when, oh, goodness gracious, I miss Corey punting for us. Yeah, a little bit. But, I mean, yeah, when Hack did that, that changed the whole game. Like you said, that could, if we weren't up by so much against Washington, I mean, that could have changed momentum, could have changed a lot of things. So you're right. You're exactly right. I'm still rooting for him. I love Isaiah. I hope he learns this quicker than later, because I think he can be really successful. I mean, when we got rid of Andre, I was surprised, but also I just remembered that Miami game last year when he took it to the house, when Zay took it to the house, and it was the way he can just stop and cut and speed up is just, his speed is insane. So all the talent is there. I think, like you said, the decision-making is really the most important thing he needs to be working on. I agree with you there.
Oh, well, Ange, where are your thoughts at there? Because I do get that I sound like, you know, I'm nitpicking and I'm being rough on Isaiah. I love Isaiah.
No. You got to be. That's what we're here for. We're not trying to dog him, but you're completely right.
Yeah. We know you got all love for Lil Dirty, but sometimes he kind of reminds me of like Sonic when he runs, because you just see like a flash of blue and he's just like gone. And I'm like, damn, I'm like, man can run. No, I think it's right to be critical of him though, but like kind of like Victoria was saying, like, you know, he didn't have as much opportunity. So I feel like he's really trying to, like, figure this role out. And, like, you know, that decision making when you're learning a new role can be a little bit challenging. Like, I know for me trying different, you know, positions when I play, like, you know, I struggle a little bit, and, you know, I might second guess myself or hesitate and things like that. I'm sure he does the same thing, but obviously he can't do that all the time because a good team is going to capitalize on those mistakes and read on that. And then, you know, that's going to be costly in the end. But I think there's a lot of upside to him. I think he's really fat. He's great. I'm not too worried about him, but I just hope, you know, sooner rather than later, you know, things will start clicking for him.
And just to prove that there's really no animosity in my heart to Lil Durdy. I love Lil Durdy. He has a new show, and I need everybody to be supportive of this. If you're in Buffalo, make sure Monday at 6 p.m., Monday at 6 p.m., you need to be at Mister's, because he's going to be recording his first episode with my man Ty Dunn, and it's going to be dope, because Lil Durdy got that. He got the personality. He has everything. He got the smile. He got the charisma. So I'm telling you, I love the dude. I love him. I just really, again, I value special teams to the point where it's just like, okay, I'm nervous, man. On offense, plug him in, and he's going to give you a touchdown at least every, like, if you put him in there for a certain amount of plays a game, it's almost a guarantee that he's going to score, because he's that type of player. But I just need it to be better on special teams. So, Victoria, before we get out of here, a couple of things. Why don't you give me a score prediction and a Josh Allen stat line, what you think he's going to do.
Goodness.
Yeah. I'll start with mine so you can get a quick second to think about it.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm going 43-10, and the only reason why I'm going that much of a blowout is because my man Coach McDiddy cussed in the presser, and he said ass. So that means it's going to be a blowout. He's going to kick their ass. So, yeah, 43-10. Josh is going to keep going what he's been going with, and it's about to be – it's going to be ridiculous. I'm going to go with Josh going 415 yards passing. I'm going to go with 3 touchdowns in the air, 1 on the ground, and I'm going to give my man Moss another touchdown.
I love that. I was going to say, Josh, 3 through the air, 1 on the ground as well. At least 375. What if he just chops it up and they put Mitch in? Then not gonna have as much, right? But score prediction, I think Houston could put up 13 on us. Maybe we get about 42. I'm gonna go 42, one lower. Are we gonna bet this? And then I'm gonna, just kidding. No, I love that. No, I love that you mentioned Moss though, because we didn't talk about him at all tonight, but how does he go from a healthy scratch to just, he's balling out for us? I love to see that. I'm really happy for him. I mean, it looked like Singletary was pulling away, and then here comes Moss, week 2 and 3. So good for him. I hope he can keep rolling, because we need a balanced attack, and I'm very glad we've got a balanced rushing and passing attack now these last couple weeks.
I think Zach Moss is RB1 for this team, and I've been saying that. And again, I get flat because it's like, what? You don't like Devin? I love Devin. I just think Devin is RB2. I don't think he's RB1. So, Angie, what's your prediction? Where we at?
So, I had 42-10 as my prediction. Think it's going to be a blowout. I definitely do. I think Josh is going to get 2 touchdowns on the ground. I think we're going to see Mitch at some point. And I think Josh is going to throw for, I'm going to say, close to 400.
I love it.
Okay. I'm with that. You already know I'm with that. I said 415, so we going with it. So, Victoria, why don't we let everybody know where to find you and find your content, and when your shows are live, or, you know, when they go live. And you also write. Am I correct with that?
Yeah. All right. Correct. Yeah. You can find me on Twitter at FFB_Victoria. All my work is at footballguys.com. I host the Football Guys Mailbag show every Wednesday night at 7:30 PM Eastern. You can send any of your fantasy questions to mailbag@footballguys.com. You can email or just tweet us on Twitter at Football Guys. So that's fun. We answer start, sit, trade questions, anything you can think of. I host that with Dave and Troy. And then I do a Thursday night show, Ladies Night Out, with the Ball Blast girls at Ball Blast Football. It's me, Kate, and Michelle. And we answer, we talk about the Thursday night matchup. We talk about start, sits for the Thursday night game. And then we answer any questions after that for any of your start, sit fantasy questions on that's Thursday night at also at 7:30 Eastern.
All right. Hey, Dubs, Big Dubs, why don't you let everybody know same thing where they can find you? Are you, I haven't heard anything and maybe it's just cause, and so I apologize. You know, I love you. Are you, are you still doing the donut?
So we're doing it. We used to do it every week, but Joey's been really busy with some other Steelers content. So we're doing it kind of like every couple of weeks. So we actually have an episode coming out next Thursday. So we're going to record it next Wednesday. But yeah, so I'm on Twitter at BillsBabe716. I'm on Instagram at Angelina0X. You can find our Donut Bag podcast. We posted both to Twitter and to Instagram. So you can follow the Donut Bag on Twitter and on Instagram as well.
Okay. And y'all know me, it's Jay Spencer King. Before I get out of here, I want to shout out and plug a couple things. One, y'all already know how I talk about these just in case bags every single week. I need y'all to jump on these things. A couple of reasons. One, they got them for men and women. It's not just men. Like, I know it had, I just saw the King shirts, but listen, these just in case bags is really, Victoria's laughing, but I'm telling you, it's dope. It has something for everybody, you know, and it's filled with like everything that you need to freshen up after work. If you got to go somewhere and meet up somebody, or after the gym, or just a little sneaky link, you know, after the games, you got stuff going on. I need y'all to go to justincasebags.net. Go ahead and check it out. The shirts are dope. I like the Zaddy one. I got the Zaddy one. I wore it last week, so I can't wear it every week, but it's dope. We, you know, so go ahead and do that. And then Monday, I need y'all to, or Tuesday, I'm sorry, I really, really need y'all to check out the Code of Conduct. It's going to be one of my personal favorite episodes from anything that I've ever done in my entire time doing podcasting. And I've had some good guests. I've had Isaiah McKenzie on. I've had Lorenzo Alexander. I've had, I don't know. I have, whoever, I have some good people. This is going to be one of my favorite personal episodes. Woo! I got Griselda, Conway the Machine, Benny the Butcher, Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's going to be the King. It's going to be the Butcher, and it's going to be the Machine, and we're going to do the damn thing. Look, I love y'all. Take care of each other and live in peace. And as always, stay positive, test negative. Go Bills.
Go Bills.
Let's go.
Thank you. I was about to get y'all if y'all ain't say it. I was going to get y'all. Thank you.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Support for this podcast came from SAS. Data is everything. And now everything is data. Which means more to process, more to analyze. And now more than ever, speed to answers matters. So how do you produce those answers as fast as the world produces data? With SAS Viya, the quickest way from a billion points of data to a point of view. It's a more productive data and AI platform that helps you get more done. Learn more today at sas.com/VIYA.